The scripture reading this morning is taken from John chapter 15, the first 17 verses. In these beautiful verses, which are so very familiar, we have this beautiful statement that greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends. What a great truth that is. John 15, listen as I read these beautiful words of our Lord. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to me my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Beautiful, beautiful words. Let us, before we open this beautiful passage, seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the fact that You are our friend, that You have chosen us to be Your friends. Heavenly Father, we pray that we may love You, serve You, and obey You, and know You, and trust in You. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ our Lord, friends are very important. All of us need them. I think that all of us have friends. Some of you have what you could call a best friend, and that's good. We need friends. I think all of us, sometime or another, have had a best friend. My best friend, I can tell you right now, is my wife. My wife is my best friend. And I really hope that every one of you husbands can say the same thing, that your wife is your best friend. That's one of the very important things about marriage. You should marry your very best friend. For me, that was her. That was she. Excuse the grammar. It was she. And that's a wonderful thing. You know, friends, we talk about Facebook. And we have friends on Facebook. I asked my daughter, how many friends do you have on Facebook? Oh, maybe a 500. I asked my granddaughter, who just came home from college, I said, how many friends you have on Facebook? I have about 500 too. Then I heard President Obama the other day say, I've got 30,000 friends on Facebook. Do you have Facebook? We have Facebook too. And it's nice to have friends on Facebook, but sometimes that doesn't mean a whole lot. I mean, you hardly ever see them. You hear from them. Sometimes people write on Facebook just, I'm bored, or I had raisin bread for breakfast, or, I mean, some, what you could call inane things are put on Facebook. Just odd things. They just kind of as a run of their consciousness on Facebook. So that's kind of ridiculous. It doesn't mean much. What is a friend? What is a friend? Well, a friend is someone who really cares for you, who loves you, and you love them. Friendship is a wonderful blessing of God. Inside that idea of friendship is the idea of covenant. You know that in the Bible, God uses that word. The translation is a little different in various translations, but it is in Psalm 25. The friendship of God is with those who fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. The friendship of the Lord. Actually, in the NIV, is the Lord confides in those who fear Him. The American Standard says, the friendship of the Lord is with those who fear them, and He will show them His covenant. But here in the NIV, it says, the Lord confides in them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. That is an aspect of friendship. You can confide in someone and know that it isn't going to be spread all over the place. You can trust them. There's a friendship there that they love you, and that the love which friendship expresses is the kind of love that 1 Corinthians 13 talks about. Love is kind. Love does not rejoice in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love is patient. I want a friend who's patient with me. I need a friend who's patient with me. And so do you. Love does not envy. It does not boast, is not proud. It is not rude. I want a friend who is not rude, who is not self-seeking, but who is seeking my good, and I seek her good. Friend is not easily angered. I want a friend who doesn't keep records of wrongs. I want a friend who doesn't rejoice in evil, but rejoices in the truth. I want a friend who always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, and a friend never fails. That's love. That's friendship. Now the Lord says His friendship is with those who fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. Jesus says, "You are my friends." Let's look at that. You are my friends. Who started that friendship? The initiation of it. Who was the first one who said, look, let's be friends? You see, on Facebook, you can't be a friend unless you're asked to be a friend. Okay, so Jesus says, I chose you. The initiation of friendship with Jesus is not on our side. We didn't start this relationship. Do you know that if the friendship with Jesus depended on us starting the friendship, we'd never be friends of Him? You remember that song that's in our Psalter hymnal? 'Tis not that I did choose Thee, for Lord, that could not be. This heart would still refuse Thee, hadst Thou not chosen me. It's a fact. Psalm 130 says, Lord, if Thou shouldst mark iniquities, who could stand? None of us could stand. But there is forgiveness with Thee that Thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His Word do I hope. So the initiation comes from His side. 100%. And as we see here, that initiation is His love and it's His choice. Because behind His choice is His love. As Paul says in Romans chapter 8, those whom He foreknew, He predestinated. That foreknowledge is love. He knew us and loved us and chose us. Whom He foreknew, He also did predestinate. So it's first His love, which is the ground of His election. And so Jesus says, as My Father has loved Me, so I have loved you. His love to us is completely on His side. We love Him because He first loved us. His love is absolutely sovereign. We do not prompt His love. We do not deserve His love. We have never earned His love. It's always a gracious act of God. As Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says so clearly, we are saved by grace through faith and not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So it's a gift of God. It's from His side. And so He loves us as the Father loved Jesus, so Jesus loves us. And the second thing is, Jesus said, you did not choose Me, but I chose you. And that goes back to the great doctrine of unconditional election. That's the U in the word tulip. Total depravity, unconditional election. You know what the unconditional word means? The word unconditional means that He chose us without us having to meet any condition. We didn't have to meet a condition for His choice. You see, God's choice is so completely different from our choice. Now we're hearing a lot, and we'll hear a whole lot more about the election of 2012. And there are going to be various candidates that are going to say, I'm the one. Vote for Me. And they're going to tell us all kinds of things that they will do for us. And that therefore we should vote for them. Now that's a political election. Divine election is totally different. We don't come to the Lord and say, well, Lord, you know, I've done this and this and this, and therefore You should choose me. Oh, no. 'Tis not that I did choose Thee. For, Lord, that could not be. This heart would still refuse Thee hadst Thou not chosen me. It is all of grace. It is unconditional election. That is one of those great cardinal Calvinistic doctrines, Reformed doctrines, which are clearly taught from one end of the Bible to the other. All through the Bible we are taught that election and salvation is unconditional. God's grace is the ground of our election. It is the ground of our salvation. And it's the ground of friendship with God. Jesus couldn't make it clearer than when He says, you did not choose Me, but I chose you. And so that's the initiation. Now, what's the proof of that friendship? How did Jesus prove that He was our friend? Well, He says it himself in verse 13 of this great chapter. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for another. That proves his friendship. He died for us. But God commendeth his own love toward us. Romans 5:8. God commendeth his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His death is the proof that he loved us. A beautiful verse in the 13th chapter of John, chapter 1. It says, Jesus, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. And that end was all the way to the cross. The cross is the proof that he loved us. And that he loves us now. He gave his life for us. What more could he do? Or as the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also freely with him give us all things? The love of God is proved by his death upon the cross. What thou, my Lord, hast suffered, we sing, was all for sinners gain. Mine was the transgression, but thine the deadly pain. O, make me thine forever, and should I fainting be, Lord, let me never, never outlive my love for thee. So the first proof, and we could say so much more. Oh, volumes are written on the proof of his love seen in his death. But the second proof of his love is his revelation. His revelation to us. He says, you know, I call you friends, not servants. Because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father I have made known to you. So the second proof of his friendship to us is his revelation. He says, everything that the Father has made known to me, I've made known to you. Jesus is the great prophet. He gives us everything that God gave him so that we may know him and know the Father and know ourselves. Everything that we know about God and about salvation and about ourselves, about heaven, about hell, about all this, we all get from Jesus. Jesus Christ is the author of this book by his Spirit. Jesus said to the people of his day, you search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me. Everything that Jesus Christ has learned from the Father, he has made known to us. That's another great proof of his friendship. He does not want us to be in the dark. And troubles come. Troubles come. Is that a way for a friend to treat us? Troubles come? Sickness? Surgery? Cancer? Disappointment? You know what Jesus says here? Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. When difficulties come into your life, and everybody has them, when difficulties come, remember it is your friend who is pruning you to make you even more fruitful. Does that make sense? Does that really make sense in your life? That difficulties, trials, whatever it is, The Dutch have an expression which says every house has its cross. Elke huis heeft zijn kruis. Every house has its cross to bear. Everyone does. But the Lord is using those difficulties to prune us, to make us more fruitful. There's purpose to the problems. There's purpose. And that is what is so important to understand. That He is our friend who loves us and prunes us also. Prunes us. Now, a number of you are orchard people. You know how to handle an orchard. And that's a wonderful thing. Taking care of trees, horticulture. And that involves pruning. And you've got to prune. You've got to cut off those branches that aren't fruitful, that are in the way, that are problems. So you cut them off so that the tree can be more fruitful. Pruning is very important. A tree that isn't pruned just becomes a mess. And the fruit gets smaller and smaller. You must prune it. That's what the Lord Jesus does to you and me. He prunes us. And suffering and hardship and difficulties and trials, all these things are part of His pruning process. And we must always realize that this is our friend doing it. And He's doing it for our good, for your good, for my good. Okay, so we saw the initiation, we saw the proof, and now, what is the fruit? What is the fruit of this friendship? Well, Jesus says, ask. Ask and it shall be given. Whatever you ask in My name, I will do it. Prayer. That's why the Heidelberg Catechism, following this teaching of the Scripture, which is throughout the whole Bible, the Heidelberg Catechism asks this question. Why must Christians pray? You know what the answer is? It is this. Prayer is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us. And He gives His grace and His Holy Spirit only to those who pray, asking Him for it and thanking Him for it. Prayer. Now this makes complete sense, doesn't it? What would friendship be if we never talked to each other? You know what shunning is? In the Amish community, if there's someone that has done wrong, they are shunned. They are shunned. Shun means you avoid them. You don't talk to them. They're kind of outside. They're ostracized. Shunning. Can you imagine two friends shunning each other? Not talking together? Giving the silent treatment? We can't do that. That's not an evidence of friendship. If there's difficulties, you've got to talk it out. You've got to talk it. Communication is crucial in maintaining good friendships, good relationships. Communication is prayer. Jesus says, I have made you friends. So, ask, and it shall be given. Whatever you ask in My name, My Father will do it. According to His will, He will do it. He hears your prayer. And so the first fruit of friendship is prayer. The very first fruit. Do you remember when the Apostle Paul was converted and he became Paul from being the persecutor Saul? And then He was led because he was blinded on the Damascus road. He was led to a house in Damascus, and then Ananias was approached by the Lord to go and see him. And the Lord said to Ananias, "You go to that house and you inquire of a man named Saul because he is praying. He is praying." That's the mark of friendship. That's the fruit of it. Are you a praying person? You children, do you pray? I am sure you do. Parents, grandparents, we have to pray. Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, unuttered or expressed. That beautiful song we sing about prayer. Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, unuttered or expressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. O Thou by whom we come to God, the life, the truth, the way, the prayer, the path of prayer Thyself has tried, Lord, teach us how to pray. So the first fruit of friendship is prayer. And then it's joy. He says, "I am your friend, you are my friend, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete." Joy. What is joy? Joy is the experience of true friendship and happiness in the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Word of God is read, I am really happy. When His name is honored and praised, I am really happy. Is that true? That's joy. There's the joy of the Lord is our strength. And then obedience. Obedience. Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And love for one another. This is what I want you to do. Love one another. And then witness. Jesus says, "As my Father has sent me, so send I you." And every one of us has a responsibility there. It's not only missionaries, not only preachers, not only elders, not only deacons, not only Sunday school teachers, but every one of us has a responsibility to share this gospel. To talk to others about it. To express it in our actions and in our words. As the Father sent me, so send I you. It's amazing how the Lord will open doors for you to share this gospel with somebody else. Maybe it's completely unrehearsed. I'm sure it would be. Completely unrehearsed, unplanned. There it is. There you find someone asks you a question. Be ready always to give an answer to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope you have. And so that's what friendship is. The initiation is from His side. He loved us. He chose us. The proof of it is He gave His life for us and He has revealed Himself to us. And the fruit of it is prayer. Joy, obedience, love for one another, and a witness. Oh, no wonder we love that song. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our soul's diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. And everyone said, Amen. Lord, bless this word onto our hearts today. Thank You, Lord, that You said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. Oh Lord, what a privilege to be a friend of Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than lands untold. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Lord, we pray that You will work in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to truly show forth Your glory and Your praise. In Jesus' name, amen.